Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now, John Selders, Bishop John Selders, regular on the program, an ordained minister, an assistant dean of students at Trinity College, and one of the leaders of Moral Monday CT. Hello there, John. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Todd.
So let's talk some current events and get your input. It's always good to get your input on what's going on in the world. How do you feel about this moment? It's been hectic with the loss of power, with the presidential race and Biden choosing a running mate. What's your take on things?
Well, this is, can I say these are strange times indeed. In the midst of this COVID moment, and while Connecticut is, you know, in fairly good shape, it's a tenuous time. So, and, you know, we've just come out of, and I think we're not quite done with what Black Lives Matter has gifted us in response to George Floyd, and now in oh, yeah, by the way, we're in the election season. So, yes, and we had a tornado, all right? So there's all of this going on all at one time. Let me give you my take. I've been listening for a bit, and I think some of your callers and are absolutely correct. This was old-time politics being played. A deal got cut. Jim Clyburn, a veteran of both politics, and he was a youngster during the civil rights movement, and parlayed that into a seat in Congress, and now in leadership in on the Democratic side. I think he said, "Listen, hey, if I support you, then I want some things in return," and that's kind of old style horse trading, as they would say. And so I would agree with that. I think this storm, however, let me be a bit transparent. I've lived in a number of places across the country in my short sojourn in life. And when we moved here 20 years ago, I had not experienced as many power outages of any sort as I have and as we have here. And it almost feels like every time we have one of these things, it's as if there wasn't preparation made. And I just, those are questions I do have with relationship to that. What's the alternative plan? If you know, we knew this storm was coming, it might come our way. Did we make preparations? And then once it hit, you know, getting people turned back on, and the risk of life and harm that the storm sustained after in the aftermath because of the lack of power is alarming to me.
But how about the politics of it? Don't you find that alarming? I mean, here you have those questions you raised. You've got a company that is strictly controlled by the heavy arm of the government, which has a regulatory agency that oversees the utilities in the state. The board members are appointed by the governor. There is no lack of influence on the part of the political class, which claims to be our protector, over the behavior of the company. And yet we don't know the answer to these basic questions. There is no transparency. There is nobody willing to speak up and say, this is how it works. This is how we deploy workers. This is how we get workers. There are all these questions that nobody has answers to. And instead, we have everybody pointing fingers at each other. What's your reaction to that?
my reaction is much like what I think your reaction is. I'm appalled. I'm appalled at a level to have not one time, a one-off, okay, but almost every storm we have. In 20 years, yeah. Like I said, I've been here, and it just I've never experienced as many outages. I remember the Snowmageddon, and we were out of power for, you know, almost a week there, and nobody knew the answers then. I mean, you know, I guess there were a couple of people who tried to explain it away, like they're doing now. Nobody's willing to, and I would be remiss if I didn't really have at the helm of this. There is something about our government and that must step up and take the lead. And if we're requiring that at a federal level, we certainly ought to require that at a state level and at a municipal level. That the buck stops with these chief the political officers, the duly elected officials, to explain it, to talk it through, to understand it, and give us some answers.
All right, hold on, Bishop Selders. Let me get a weather report in, and then we can continue the conversation. We're talking to Bishop John Selders. So you talked about the blessing of Black Lives Matter, and I understand where we're coming from different places politically, but I always have this question about reveling in solutions that are going to come from pressure on government, because ultimately, to me, government fails, as special interest groups do, to do what's in the best interest of people, because they do what's in the best interest of themselves. And the only protection we have is the forced smallness, the forced confinement of their acquisition of power. And if they're allowed to run wild, doing all kinds of things they aren't meant to be doing, they will do that. And they will lie and cheat and misrepresent and distort and have $1.4 million changing hands from Eversource to the political class, and thus the people are boxed out. And I don't know any way to change that except to squeeze government to be smaller all the time so that the power can remain in the hands of the people where it belongs. And we do that with markets, and we do it by simply not accepting the growth of government and the influence of government over things like public utilities. What's your take on that, John?
So I might agree with you. I probably subscribe to the idea. Saul Alinsky, the activist and theorist, suggested that there's two kinds of power, organized money and organized people. All right. And so I think in some ways, if the people, when organized, they could then require, like you've suggested, that where organized money has been placed in strategic way to have its way, I think organized people placed and doing strategic actions and activity can also bring about a change. And you're right. I'm troubled with the way in which money can exchange hands pretty quickly and fairly innocuously and quietly. And that kind of money that we've just been seeing, you know, that has been exchanging hands. And yet when emergencies happen, it doesn't appear to be an emergency for the people, for some people.
Yeah. So to me, the only protection you have is to not give them the power, because it's hard to get people to accept that the people holding elective office at a high level in the state and in the federal government are as scummy and slimy as they are. The fact is, they don't do what's in the best interest of us. They simply talk about doing what's in the best interest of us. So if we go along with the idea of let's make government bigger so it can do more things for us without coming to terms with the reality that government can't do things for us. It doesn't do things for us. It only takes things from us. It has to be taking from somebody to be able to give to somebody else. So if you buy into a scheme in which the government is our protector, they're going to protect us like they protect us when a storm comes in. And that is fake governor pretending to know what's going on, repeating, you know, walking into a briefing, walking out, acting like all that information he just got and that he's repeating is something he knows, acting like he's actually been supervising when, in fact, he knows nothing of what's going on and doesn't know the internal workings of the companies and doesn't care, pays no attention, because they get away with all this stuff with bluff lines. Like, I just, it's such a cheap trick that they play on us over and over again, as you described, one storm after another. The same horrors happen, and the same bull dung gets spun to fool the people, and the people keep going along with it. So this stuff gets me the most, because they're supposed to care, and they don't care at all.
Sure. This is what I'll say, and I'm giggling just a little bit, because I kind of agree with you on some level that there is something untenable when this is not just one time, but we can go back in just recent history and find the same kind of bungled emergency, if you will, or crisis. We could have telegraphed this, that if there's going to be some, you know, a big storm
exactly,
is coming, there's
yes.
going to be some power outages, and here we are.
That's right.
Nobody's going to know anything, yep. and people are going to be in distress for week, 2 weeks, right?
Okay, but if you expand this and yeah, go ahead.
No, so I believe that whatever size government is, big or small, that it has to be held accountable, and that people hold other people accountable. And money is involved in this, you know, in our form and system, it appears that money is often at the center or at least around it in some way. I also believe we can't just opt out as the folk in requiring our elected officials. They are elected, right? So then it is our job to call them into account. And I mean, you know, in many ways.
Yes,
what I was rejecting,
but let me interrupt. Like, let me interrupt, John, just because you made this point already. If you create a big socialist government whose job it is to take care of everybody, then the level of influence, the people already have given up so much leverage over the government that the people being mobilized is just not going to be a reliable thing day in and day out. You can have moments of mobilized people who demand change from the government, but if the government is corrupt and awash in special interest money, they'll spend that money to create the illusion of change and not deliver it.
I understand what you just said. I want to be very clear. I'm not speaking of mobilized people. I'm speaking of organized people. I don't think mm-hmm. it is just the deploying of mobilized money that's affecting the issues here. It is organized money. It is money used strategically and placed, it, you know, very purposefully in these systems to uphold the interests of those few. I believe in the same way organized people, not just mobilized people in advance out in the street, but organized people so that they're trained, they're strategic, that they're active, they're involved, they're influential, they're using their influence in ways in the same way organized money does. That's what I'm mm-hmm. speaking to.
All right. Well, now we've gotten to the good stuff right when we're running out of time. That's too bad. But
isn't it always
We'll have to dig into this some more, because I want to find out what that organized money is. I mean, I think I understand in terms of this, we know what the organized money is doing. We've got, you know, the minority leader of the House of Representatives in the state is engaged to the third in command at Eversource, who just sold $500,000 worth of stock before the day before the storm hit. I guess that's what you mean by organized money. I don't know what the people can do to compete with that when the mechanisms of power and the infrastructure of power have those relationships codified in the kind of way that you're describing. But we'll have to learn about that next time. Bishop John Selders, I like your radicalism, if that's a fair description, because I think I feel a similar sense of disdain for the way power is operated and come to a different conclusion. So it's kind of fun. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
All righty. Bishop John Selders. That was good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.